Free Fire Radio. Radio. It's about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carla Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:05 on September the 7th. Okay, summer's over. Even the temperatures have gone down today. It's going to be a great day. We are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and if you go to KCNR1460.com, our webpage, our chat room comes up. And in there, you can make pithy comments. You can make inane comments. You can make great comments, some of which will actually make it on the show. And in fact, if you want to, you can even say things that aren't quite as nice as you would outside on the street to Bob. Bad Bob. And speaking of Bad Bob, say good morning.
All we ask is that you keep it civil.
Civil. That's right. You can say things that are true, but say it civilly. And I'd like to sit here and introduce to my beautiful, beautiful other half, but she's out of breakfast this morning, right now, with United Way, because they're talking about Celebrity Waiter Night that's going to be this Saturday at the Red Lion Inn. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great fundraiser for the United Way, who helps so many people. So that's where Linda's at this morning. But Bob and I will try to make this man world for a little while.
Just the guys.
Hey, on today's show, we have Cowboys. That's right. We're going to have Cowboys on, and then we're also having candidates. Rick Bassetti's going to be on at 8 o'clock, and Rick has been stirring the pot about pay. And if you check his website out and his statements and other things that he is saying, is Rick's got a way to get the budget under control, according to Rick. So Rick Bassetti will be here, and he's of course, he is a member of the city council, and he's running for re-election. There's a lot of things going on today. We're going to take a quick break now, and then we're going to jump back into it. Just, you know, let me ask you a question. I want you to be cogitating on this while I'm gone. How much money does it take to make you happy? That's right. How much money does it take to make you happy? You know, they've done a study on this, and the results may surprise you. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It is September 7th. It's 10 after 7. What's wrong?
I was hearing the Marine hymn firing off from somewhere. I thought we had a malfunction, but it was a cell phone in the back part of the office.
There's no thing as a malfunction
when
with the Marine Corps hymn,
Marine
Bob.
Hymn,
okay? You could play that anywhere. Play it on a harmonica, and you'll be standing at attention, Bad Bob. Okay, today's weather right now, it is 62 degrees, is that right? 61 degrees.
61.
And it's going to be getting up to 87, my friends, 87. A little breezy today. Now, Bob, before we get into the part about how much money can really make you happy? What about the fire? I know there's been a lot of fire danger. I know Colorado is under siege with wildfires going out there. And we've had a few 100-acre blazes going. In fact, I think there's still one out there.
We're coming up on the part of the season where historically we have had our worst incidents. Jones, Bear Fire, Happy Valley all happened about this time of year. So we're by no stretch of the imagination out of the woods yet. We get a lot of warm winds coming down the valley this time of year, and that's what pushes those fires out of control very, very quickly. Fuel moisture this year, according to my expert in-house, is not as bad as it has been, but of course the danger is always there. So we ask people if they're getting a little bit of last-minute camping, or even the Happy Valley fire some years ago was sparked by somebody towing a trailer and the chain dragged on the ground, and that's all it took. So just be extra careful.
I think there was one started by the homeless camp, or somebody was there and they left their fire going.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, be careful out there. When we were driving back up from Sacramento the other day, we noticed just how dry it is out there, and that just a match would probably start a great fire. Okay. Money. How much money does it take to make you happy? I mean, really, when you think about it. They actually did a study on it, and they looked at 450,000 people. They gave out surveys to 450,000 people. This isn't like calling, you know, the people down in up in Hayfork or something. And they found out that people that make $75,000 a year. That makes us happy. If you make less than $75,000 a year, according to the survey, life is harder. It's harder for you, so you're less happy. So if you think about that, how much money would make you happy? You know, so then what happens to a person that's making $100,000 a year and then makes $200,000 a year? Would that person be happier, Bob?
I doubt it. Your complications increase.
Okay. Now, what they're saying is, does their day-to-day happiness get... Do they have more happiness day-to-day, I guess is the best way of putting it? And the answer to that is no. But they do feel an enhanced success in their life. So I can understand that. You know, so if you're, so you may be making more money, you feel more successful, so that obviously plays on your ego, but it doesn't make you more happy. I asked Jim Bremmer this, and Jim Bremmer said that he could be perfectly happy for $400,000. He says, in fact, he could be orgasmically happier if you made $400,000 a year. But I find this really interesting. Why $75,000? Why is it $75,000? What did that survey say that shows if you had $75,000? Okay, does that mean you make your house payments? Doesn't that depend on the kind of house you have?
I think that takes care of the basics, but doesn't push you into a tax bracket where the government really sinks its teeth into you.
Well, like Obama's trying to do right now. You know, trying to take away the tax breaks again.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to help the economy. Anyway, so what do you think? You know, think about it while you're out there. You're having your coffee. You're trying to wake up. Your feet are trying to find the floor. $75,000, would that make you happy? $75,000 a year, would that make you happy? Or is that just kind of like a bump on the log? And that you need something like, oh, you know, I need $250,000 to make me happy. Now, me, every day I get up, those eyes open. That's a happy day.
Watching the grass grow from this side.
Hey, there you go. Anyway, it just is, the fact is, more money than that makes you feel successful. Now, you know, the other thing, on the other end of it, when you get people that don't have anything, like you see in some of the third world countries where they're starving and that, what happens then is that as soon as more food arrives and they feel stronger, they become really unhappy. Before that, it's just you just have to be
the
living.
Malaise,
everything,
man.
Everything you do is for you to stay alive and your people to stay alive. As soon as more food is added to that equation, unhappiness really grows. And then with unhappiness becomes, you know, then it becomes revolution. So that's why you'll see, or used to see, and may still do that, some countries, they want to keep the food down so the people won't be fed enough. But here in the United States, we don't have that problem. And in fact,
quite the opposite.
ADD. Here we go. Jump to another subject. Long-term weight loss could be harmful to your health, Bob. That's right. Long-term weight loss.
Don't tell Amy this.
No. That's why. Bob, have another donut. Here we go. Long-term weight loss may release into the blood industrial pollutants linked to illnesses like diabetes, hypertension, and rheumatoid arthritis. Can you believe that? I mean, what they're saying is that, yes, while you're losing weight and it helps your heart and it helps, you know, it helps in diabetes and all this. This is what doctors say. They said that those compounds, all those nasty compounds from pollution, are normally stored in fatty tissues. But when the fat breaks down during weight loss, they get into the bloodstream. So we're living under this dogma that
that's why
weight loss is good for
you. Weight loss is a bad thing. You want to do it gradually, a couple, 3-4 pounds a month, sustained loss. You don't want to do a big bunch at once, because that rebound often throws people off track and they quit.
Well, but it's saying right here is that to release all types of, they said that concentrations of 7 such compounds in the blood, these pollutions, those who lost most weight over 10 years had the highest concentration of the compounds called persistent organic pollutants. Now, why am I sharing this with you?
Pops.
It's pops. Yeah, you get pops in there. It's that everywhere you go to, I mean, you look at it, the United States is quickly becoming, if not the, quickly becoming the most obese nation in the world. Our kids are obese. Did you know for the first time, and the studies came out, is that our children have a shorter life expectancy than their parents do. because of all of the, because of obesity and diabetes. I mean, they're finding kids with diabetes at age 12 because of
type
the weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, then you see things, the battles about putting calories, you know, calorie counters on these fast food menus and all this. You know, frankly, I think that's a waste of time. It's a make you feel good, nanny protect you, government type thing. The whole idea behind this is that you take care of your kids. Last night, Linda and I were over at KIXE Channel 9. We were introducing Cat in the Hat for KIXE Channel 9. That's going to be a show every morning at 8:30.
Oh, cool.
That's on Channel 9, the PBS. Besides the fact that I was wearing a Cat in the Hat hat, and Linda was dressed up as Thing One. I have no idea what Thing One is, but she was running around the around me in the last segment, and I couldn't talk. I was laughing so hard. The part, though, is this, is that they have 10.5 hours of programming over at KIXE for children. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is, how do you know what your kids are watching if you don't know what they're eating? If you can't keep them, if you can't kind of control what they're eating, you can't have the government do it. What do you want? Do you want the government to do away with fast food? No, of course not. I mean, people should have the right to go out and buy a burger. Even if it's one of these Angus, double Angus, steak burger, extra cheese with bacon on it that's got 12,000 calories and you have a heart roto-rooter right after you eat it.
Isn't Bloomberg talking about a fat tax on all the
fast
food restaurants?
Well, you know what? Well, okay, here's my thing on Bloomberg. Bloomberg's supporting the mosque. Well, why doesn't Bloomberg give money to build the new mosque? And it could be called the Bloomberg Mosque. And anyway, you kind of cover everything, you know, the Jewish side and the Islamic side. We'll talk about that later. Let's go back to this. It's, you know, the thing is we're talking about obesity and people and letting the government get into your business. The government has no right to get into the business of a child eating a hamburger. That's the parent's job. If a parent wants to have their child eat a hamburger, so be it. But it's when you get the government into that, I mean, it's everything. It's everything we're talking about. When the government wants to do everything, and now we have gotten ourselves to a point in this country that we're spending trillions of dollars on things we don't have to spend because the government has to get into everything. I don't know how I got into that off of losing long-term weight and somehow KIXE, except KIXE, we really like that. We support public broadcasting. We support the idea that our station here is representing our community and has all different types of programming, but especially for children. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about hunting. And there is a species out there that has no limit. And in fact, hunters are encouraged to shoot them. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. When you welcome back to Free Fire Radio, Carl and Linda Bott. 7:24 in the morning, KCNR 1460. Hey, you know what? Yesterday we thought we had a gas leak at the house, so we called PG&E. Now, I make a lot of jokes about PG&E, which is easy to do. But Ben came out to the house, and I have never seen somebody that is more cognizant of what he is supposed to do. He did everything. What a great young man. If that's who PG&E has working for him out there in the field, then we have little to worry about. He crawled under the house. He checked everything. He came in, and he found out what was going on, and it was a minor leak, but there was a couple of burners on a boiler that had to be, you know, moved over, and he did that. Just did a great job. Came out quickly, checked everything. I mean, everything around there, so that we feel, you know, I feel like, you know, that there is that somebody cares, and that they have, if they're like Ben, and he says he has to work hard to keep up with the older guys. And I would just like to salute PG&E's core of people that come out and check for those gas leaks, and especially Benjamin. So thanks a lot. This is a shout-out for Ben. Okay, well, I was talking about you can hunt. It looks like the Eurasian collared dove is in trouble. There is no limit to the Eurasian collared dove. I think they're in competition, they might think, with our local mourning doves. It's a non-native dove, and they're saying, the Fish and Game Department is saying, go for it. You know, I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking about it, so gosh, you know, it's no limit on them, and they taste good.
You just got to get a lot of them.
I was thinking, why don't we do the same thing with terrorists? Now, let's just put out some of this. We've got a hunting season on. It starts September 11th, I should say. And this is for terrorists, and there's no limit on them. Not only that, you can use automatic weapons on this, and if you're checked, the only thing they're going to do is just to make sure that your weapons are safe like this. And, you know, but for God's sakes, let's not say they taste like chicken, or we will never have, you know, this will keep going on forever. So, anyway, it's a little humor there, Bob. Bob's over there looking at me strangely.
I've seen the paint moving towards the corner here.
Yeah, here we go. Keep your finger off the dump button. Anyway, okay. One last thing, before we get into our next segment, when we've got cowboys standing around in here with their spurs on and their the big belt buckles.
Who can still legally carry their sidearms.
They can still legally carry their sidearms.
No thanks to the legislature.
No. There's the Shasta County Veterans Service Office has put together a list of businesses they take off percentages to all veterans so that they give a discount is what the word is I'm trying to find. Thanks, Bob. The way you get this is you go down to the Shasta County Veterans Office, and this is Bob Dunlap down there, and they will issue you a card that says that you're a veteran, and then you can show this. They've got a list of over 70 businesses here in town that will honor that card. So if you're a veteran, the only thing you go down to the Shasta County Veterans Office and you show them your 214, or if you're retired, you've got to retire. You know, you got your ID card anyway. But this way, you can have a card, and if you served honorably, you get the card. It doesn't have your photo on it, but it's got your name. And this is issued by the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. It's recognized and honored by over 70 businesses, includes Lowe's, Marie Callender's, Black Bear's Diner, Logan's Roadhouse, Applebee's, many others. So we've got a link, I believe, on ours that takes you to that and takes you to the Shasta County Veterans Service Office, Bob.
And if you cannot locate your DD-214, they will be very happy to help you track one down and get a certified copy of it. That's one of the many services that the Veterans Service Office in their new digs there on Court Street is happy to provide.
That's right. If you just give them a call at 225-5616, or toll-free at 1-800-479-8009, extension 5616. It's a great idea. You know, we're not talking about getting anything free. It's just that they're honoring veterans and all these different businesses by giving the small discount. And in today, what's going on today with the economy and unemployment, anything that comes out helps. So we applaud the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer and Bob Dunlap for this, and all the people that are helping make this happen. And there are a lot of people helping to make this happen. And want to ring the bell for all those businesses that are participating. We'd love to see every business participate in this. Okay. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the Asphalt Cowboys about a big event that's happening this weekend. And we're going to talk about a few other things that are going on that perhaps the Cowboys can weigh in on. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 69 degrees here, I think. I can
59.
See from 59. I'm sorry, 59.
It cools off a little just as the sun
comes
up.
Okay, 59 degrees. It's going to get up to 85 today. It's going to be a great day. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellites off Airport Road right down from the Burrito Bandito. But people are finding their way to B&T Satellites. They have been for since 1985. Doug Tooley's the boss down there. He runs it, guarantees his work. Veteran of the 82nd Airborne. That's always nice to know that you have somebody that's putting in your systems that jumps out of perfectly good airplanes. Some people will say there is no such thing as a perfectly good airplane. Doug guarantees his work. He puts in surround sound. He's your Dish TV man. In fact, he's coming in today to do our house. We have switched over to Dish, and because for a couple of reasons. But one is local. Local man doing great work. We get phone calls telling what a great job he does. Doug Tooley, BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Go give him a call or stop by and visit him. Okay, we're moving on to the cowboy portion of the show. My guests are Gordon Bach and Barry Weiswasser. Was I close?
Yeah, that right. Real good.
That was real good. Is everybody turned on here?
Everybody's turned on. You just need to be
get
closer.
Get closer to the microphone. Pretend it's somebody you
it
really
doesn't
like.
Fight, really.
There you go.
Baby.
Asphalt Cowboys. Yeehaw.
We're around today to celebrate, or not to celebrate, to promote our 58th annual community barbecue that we're having next Sunday.
Which we are planning on attending, by the way.
Good,
because
I hope you are there.
We're going to be there. You know, this is great. You all do so much for the community. But tell us more about the barbecue. Tell us where it's going to be at.
It's going to be down at Lake Redding Park, near the entrance to the Senior Citizens Hall. And
it's been
in the same place, boy, I don't know how long now.
58 years. This is our 58th annual.
58 years at the that you've been having this there. It's down there by the Diesel Horse Bridge.
The big barbecue. Yeah,
big barbecue place back there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And now you come in. It's not you don't have to stay there. I mean, you can just drive in. It's kind of you can even do takeout.
Drive through.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Drive through barbecue.
The world's largest drive through.
What are we going to have down there?
We're going to have tri-tip and chicken, all barbecued at the site. We're going to have coleslaw, baked beans, and garlic bread.
Okay, and you're also going to have a band down there?
We will have a band. It's a combo called Horse Sense. They're out of the Bay Area, and we've had them before, and they're a real, real nice, mellow thing to have in the park. It's a real family thing, so it sets the mood very well.
That's great. Now, the Asphalt Cowboys you all have been around forever here. And
A day or two.
Where, you know, when you raise money, and for the things that you do, where does the money go?
You know, it's interesting when people ask us that. This is why we try to promote ourselves so much, because there's a whole part of us that people don't understand, and they don't realize that when we become members of the Asphalt Cowboys, we're sworn in by the sheriff. And part of that is almost like a kind of the sheriff in an old way forming up his posse and pre-deputizing his posse. We are in a position, and we have to keep all of our equipment running in the event of a disaster. We have to keep all of this equipment up so we can go feed 10,000 people in 5 hours. So it's important for us to keep everything up on top of the.
Over the years I've watched, these guys could give the Army lessons in how to feed a large crowd. It's amazing.
So you're here in case of national emergencies.
Right.
Or, things like this. Well, we're going to be in the. Probably next month, after things calm down a little bit with the candidates, we're going to be talking about urban survival and communities, what you can do in communities, and this is some of the things that you all do to help. In case there is a natural disaster, is that you all are out there.
You bet.
Feeding and taking care.
And that's half of our job. That it really is. And where our money goes is mostly to pay for the equipment maintenance and the insurance that it takes in the state of California to do anything at all.
Well, you do a lot of things too. I mean, with the parades and the breakfast feed or the pancake breakfast down there, and I know that y'all are involved in the down in the Gulch.
Yeah, there's actually really only the two major events that are fundraisers, and that's the big breakfast and the community barbecue.
Right,
and the funds made off of these activities not only are used for maintaining the equipment, of course, and paying our daily expenses. We're like any other business. We have daily expenses. But we also use that money in promotion of Rodeo Week, and that's our second biggest reason for existing. We put on all the activities during rodeo except the rodeo itself. We put on the street dance on Wednesday night. We do the kitty pet parade at the Mount Shasta Mall. Just we hand out awards and trophies for the business and bank judging, decoration judging day on Tuesday of that week. We, in conjunction with the Rodeo Association, put on the special kids day, usually held on Monday of rodeo week. And all
of
the
whole week, you all take care of that whole week.
That whole week. That condenses it into a week promoting the rodeo, but that doesn't even take into account the number of parades when we're out representing the rodeo during the year. We're in Bernie, we're in Red Bluff, we're in
Cottonwood.
We go to all the parades around Shasta County, and we're in it to promote that Redding rodeo all year long.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, but, you know, these are just things, you know, we talk about, hey, here's a fundraiser. We're really, you know, so what are we raising funds for? So we're raising funds for, one is to be ready for a national emergency if something comes up. But the other thing is to promote, when it gets down to it, is to promote the North State.
You bet.
You know, with the Redding Rodeo and that. And we want to talk a little bit more about that, is the background behind the Asphalt Cowboys. And, you know, some history of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does somebody become an Asphalt Cowboy? Just little questions like that. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Your
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. September 7th, it is 8:45 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And guess who just rolled back in here?
Well, you know, I got to do the weather. It's currently 59 degrees. It's going to be high today. I can't believe 87. When I walked outside this morning, I went, we have arrived. We have arrived at that fabulous weather. Hey, I just got back from a meeting this morning for the United Way event that's happening Saturday night. It's at the Red Lion Inn, and you and I are going to MC, and there's all these celebrity waiters. Tracy Edwards is there, Maria Rosco, Tom Armolito, the people from Enjoy Magazine, James Mazzotta, Rhonda Ball. You've got Les Ball. You have Kurt Starman. You have Norma Comnock, who says she's going to make you cookies again and wants to take us on a tour of Anderson. So shout out
to
Norma.
We want to do that. Norma, you make some great cookies.
Yeah. And, of course, we would love to have a personal tour of Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And meet some of the business owners down there and fill that up. But anyway, so Saturday night is... the United Way Celebrity Waiter event, and their ticket...
On the 11th, right.
On September 11th, and there's so many wonderful things that the United provide. They provide help for monetarily, and I have a long list of that I'll bring back in a second, but one of them, which is the Boy Scouts of America, they're there in a time of need, and it is an umbrella for many, like I said, many organizations.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah,
I can't do the weather. I say it's 73 degrees and it'll be that all day long.
And I came in and there were two handsome men besides, well, you, the regular two handsome men I sit with all the time, two more handsome men. So there's four guys in here. I don't know. It's kind of testosterone. It's kind of like melting off the walls in here.
We're glad you're back, too.
Yeah, I had to enter with caution.
Our Asphalt Cowboys are here, Gordon Bach and Barry Weisswasser, and we're talking about the big feed now on September 12th, Sunday.
Woo-hoo.
Down at this is the 58th annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue, and you know what? Y'all have not raised the price on this. $6 for barbecue, tri-tipper chicken, coleslaw, cowboy beans, garlic bread, coffee, everything. Drive through or eat there. $6.
I'm going to throw out a number of about 6,000 pounds of tri-tip that we go buy. So every year we try to get out there and shop for that. We're not, you know, that's enough money where you can go to different places and say, hey, listen, we need a better price on this when you're buying so much. And we do that. We do the same thing for our chicken. We buy smart for all the utensils, the plates.
6,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's you really have to come down to see that and be amazed by it. And
well, we're going to be there.
Make sure you are.
We're going to be there.
Carol, I'm in charge of, or one of the guys in charge of barbecuing the tri-tip, and you mentioned you were going to be down there. So we start at 4.
At 4 in the morning?
Yeah. We get the fires going. We put our first tri-tip on at about 5:45. So You're welcome to come down anytime.
Well, look, if you don't happen to see me right at 4 o'clock, please do not hold up.
Don't wait.
And, you know, who knows? There could be something going on in the world that I'm looking at right then.
This is why we need a motorhome, because we would do the celebrity waiter benefit and MC that and have a good time doing that, however long that lasts. Get in the motorhome, come down, spend the night in the park, and
just
be ready at 4 a.m. Just
money.
Knock on the doggone door.
Money. Go ahead.
You know, if we had that $75,000, yeah, makes people happy, we'd just go do that.
Now, did I, I'm sure you've mentioned this before, but this is your biggest fundraiser of the year.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the most important. I mean, they're all important, but this is the one that raises that you look towards raising the most funds. And can you share with us again where those, what happens with the funds?
Sure. We go, like we had talked about, we have the equipment that we have is used in case of a national emergency. So we always have to keep that equipment up, just like the fire department does, and just like their fire trucks. They always have to be ready to go out the door. And the other thing is for every year we make a donation to the Sheriff's Department in their canine corps, either for a dog or for their training. And we then also promote the rodeo. The whole rodeo week activities are all free. They don't have any cost to anybody. And that would be like our parade is the only parade in California that we know of that's left that doesn't have a fee.
We really, really like that parade.
Great parade.
And the Veterans Parade. Linda and I announced last year, and we thought that was, we had a lot of good time with that. How do you become an asphalt cowboy?
There's usually a waiting list.
Okay, now they looked at each other on that one. Okay, there's a certain prerequisite.
There
right?
is usually a waiting list.
Has anything to do with chugging beer or anything like
nothing,
that?
No,
that comes later.
It came, there have been clubs in the past, like the Trade Club and the Exchange Club, some of these clubs that we've been able to steal really great people from, but we usually have a waiting list, and it's all by invitation. It has to be somebody that comes in and displays to not only our membership committee but to the whole group that they're in there for the right reasons to work, because we don't work on a way that we have 100 people on our roster and then 35 of us are the ones that do the work. We have 40 people on our roster and 40 of us do the work.
So there's only 40 of the asphalt company.
There is, and there's no skate. There's no skating at all.
I've seen every time I see you all that. That the your work ethic obviously is there, as is the beer ethic.
And the sponsor is responsible for this new cowboy for a minimum of 1 year. If this new cowboy isn't staying on track, the sponsor is responsible for getting him on track or requesting his badge back. And that has happened a few times.
Well, that's we've been there for inductions and things like that, and out at Riverview, and that was a great time that evening. We've got to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll finish this segment up. We have Rick Bassetti waiting out there in the green room, ready to roll in here and talk business for City Council. Carl Lindebaut, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I have a lot. Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:55 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley got a great place there. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's gives you 40 different types of coffee that they can serve you 60 or 70 different ways. So, I mean, this is a great place. They support our veterans. They support our community. I can't say much more than that. They support our community. They support our veterans. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley are great people. Go down and visit them.
That was like you last night on Channel 9. Yeah. We were Troy Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
You kids watch this. It was funny. Oh, my gosh.
You revert back to what you know.
That was
you kids get in front of the TV set and you watch this, okay?
Yeah,
but you don't watch it all day long. Get out and get a little exercise there. And don't eat that fast food, you know? Okay.
It'll be hot today.
Unless your parents say it's okay.
The weather
but
today.
You do go down and get that barbecue.
Can I get in there? Thanks.
Okay,
it's going to be the weather's going to be 87 today. Weather's always brought to you by Ensamo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. We've got the Asphalt Cowboys here this morning. We're talking the 58th annual. 58th annual. 58. 58. That's the year I was born.
So you two,
that's
I
weird.
Wasn't in at that time.
I was going to say, you two joined it when you were 20, 22?
Yeah, we didn't start it. Yeah.
And that's at Lake Redding Park. You know, a lot of times people are getting out of their, in and out of their cars, they're zooming off to work. Give us the highlights again, one more time. How much does it cost? Where do we go? What is it all about?
It's $6, and there's a drive-through, and it'll be especially busy during halftime of both the football games, so get down there quick.
And you know what? I think we're going to give away two tickets for this sometime. Not right now. Oh, yeah, let's just give away two tickets. Okay, we've got two tickets for the Asphalt Cowboys Barbecue. We're going to give away two tickets. First one that calls, 605-4567.
You're going to get the best barbecue you can ever imagine.
You get free tickets for the community barbecue.
And that's this Sunday. You can just drive through and get this just
incredible
killer
meal. It is great. 6,000 pounds of tri-tip.
Now, tell us about the live auction from 1 to 3, if somebody wants to get out of the car and hang out for a while.
We're going to have a live auction. We always have a live auction. It's a big part of our fundraiser that day. We have entertainment that's going to be in a combo. They play bluegrass and some upbeat sort
Perfect.
Of stuff with fiddle player and that sort of thing. But we do have an auction from items that basically have been donated by businesses around just to help out.
All right.
That's great.
So it sounds like a fun day. And what perfect weather do we have?
I think it's going to be a little sunny. It's going to be great.
Man.
It looks really good. I've been out there barbecuing when it's been 110 degrees out, and by the end of the day, there's just nothing left.
Except for a good margarita.
And lots of them.
You know, our guest today from the Asphalt Cowboys has been Gordon Bach and Barry Weiswasser. And
the two most confused as brothers, I'll let you know.
Well, I can see that. But you are brothers as Asphalt Cowboys.
And Marvin, you have two tickets to the barbecue. That's going to be this Sunday, September 12th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You know what? We can't thank you all enough for the things that the Asphalt Cowboys
do.
Yeah, you know, we kid around about it. And, Gordon's a good friend of ours. And Barry's becoming one. But just what the Asphalt Cowboys do for our community is outstanding. You know, it makes us here on community radio, our local radio station here, we're proud to be able to support things like this.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great turnout. And of course, we say one more time, please come out. This is their biggest fundraiser. The funds go for, like they said, the help with the canine and the sheriffs and so many other things that we as a community need to come out on Sunday and just drive through and get $6.
It helps. You know, it's what makes us a community is events like this. And when if you go to other cities that don't have events like this, there's not that, you don't have that feeling of character. You don't have that feeling of a community. And this is just one of the ways. United Way, this is just another way of feeling like a community. So thanks again so much, my friends.
Hey, you bet.
Well, it's a real honor for us just to be in the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So we're happy to do it.
Well thank you, gentlemen.
Yeehaw.
And we'll see you out there.
We'll see you out there
soon.
Coming up, we've got Rick Bassetti. We're going to be going to your emails. The chat room is open. I'm going to be opening up my computer to check out some things that were sent to me. I'm sure that there's a lot of hot topics coming on right now with City Council, some things that you may want to ask Rick while he's here in the next hour here on Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, this is we're going to be talking about, of course, the financial part of it. We're going to be talking Councilman Bassetti's plans on reelection and what he wants to do. We're going to be talking about the salaries of management. We're going to be talking about business. We're going to be talking about Stillwater and what's going on out there. We've got, probably 100 questions, but I know you have 100 questions, and your questions come first. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, our second hour. It's 8:05 on September 7th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, or you can get on there and you start the chat.
Or
send us emails to Linda at KCNR1460.com.
And we're taking your calls, 605-4567. That is the hotline in the studio, 605-4567. So if you're going to call from your cell phone, pull over. Currently 59 degrees, going to be high today of 87. Do you like, there's no triple digit in that one. Just love it. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And why we're just quick on that, we have a brand new fall music series coming up. So we have some dates booked in September, October, November, and December that will be up on the KCNR website soon, as well as the Anselmo. Again, there'll be Rick Hill and myself and Candice Lavolsi and some wonderful, great North State jazz musicians that will be up. You don't want to miss those. I'd say sell out quickly. Now it's just turned, I see the degrees, it's turned to 60. And you know why? Because Rick Bassetti's in the house.
I'm not sure if I'm going to turn the heat up.
Anyway, we are taking your email, so welcome to the show.
Thank you, Linda. I really appreciate the opportunity to come in, Carl. I appreciate the offer to come in.
Well, you know, we believe it's important that everybody that's going to run for council needs to have the people, people need to hear what they stand for and be able to ask a question. And you've been on the council and been there for a number of decisions that are having impacts on our community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, phone number's always been posted and at the website and everything, and people, I get many calls, and I try to return every one of them. I do apologize about the last 6 weeks or so. I've been tied up. My wife's father was in a bad car accident, and so we were out of town much more than I wanted to be.
Right, I understand that, but, you know, it's family,
yes.
And you have to take care of those things. It seems like, you know, the battle has been joined, I should say. I mean, I don't know if battle's the right word. Because when you think of battle, you think of dead bodies laying around, and that's not what's happening. However, there has been a lot of, conflict in the what's going on in the city with the city council and our unions.
Well, I'm not sure if I would call it a battle or a conflict. It's coalesced. This isn't just unique to Reading. We're just a microcosm of what's happening throughout our whole state and through across the nation in the public environment, in the public employees union environment. You know, there were many, many years where we were living in a kind of a false economy. There was too easy of money. People could go get it, and sales tax dollars were rolling in. And when you look at our city, we had councils that it was more important to get along and be liked. We had a lot of money. We didn't bank it. We had the prior councils ahead of the ones that I succeeded didn't bank any of the extra monies that we did have, knowing that we did have huge liabilities out there. They were fully forewarned in 2005 as well when Dr. Freitas came and gave his report. And so, you know, now it's all coming to roost. He warned us back then that if we don't get our house in order, we're going to be faced with this at the slightest downturn.
Well, and now we're in that. We're each quarter seems to be another $2 or $3 million out of the budget.
Well, this year right now as we stand, the budget stands will be a negative $500,000. You know, the last meeting, I think it was when they wanted us to withdraw down our 5% reserves, and the majority said, no, we're not going to do that. We have to keep it here. We drew a lot of flack, but there's a lot of repercussions to doing that. Our bond rating would have changed. The cost of money for us to borrow in the future would have been significantly more because those bonding companies do watch and do pay attention to cities and where the reserves are. That was one contributing factor. And then the other is, we were bleeding at about $40,000 a month. And I think that compared to where we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we were at $300,000. You know, we were making $3 million cuts. I mean, Carl, when I came on, we were at $78 million in our general fund budget. This year it's going to be $60. $18 million in 3.5 years.
Okay, we're going to, our guest is Rick Bassetti. We're going to be taking a quick break here. When we come back, if you have questions for Rick, it's 605-4567, or just you can chat, send questions in the chat room, or email to Linda at KCNR1460. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 8:13 in the morning, September 7th. The summer's over, my friends, and now we're rocking in the fall.
Yeah, but not your air guitar.
Not my air guitar.
That goes 24/7.
7 days a week.
I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I get that long hair flying. Our guest is Rick Pacitti, and we have, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Good morning.
Bob and Rick.
Good morning, John.
And, you know, your C-string needs to be tightened up a little bit.
You know, I've heard that before, that my C-string tends to get a little loose sometimes.
No comment. I almost went somewhere else with that, but anyway.
Rick, I'm sorry about your family illnesses, and I hope things turn out better for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I have a question for you.
Certainly.
And it's a multi-part, and I'm going to just go through it real quick, okay?
Okay.
I'd like to ask you if the city council has the ability to review staff performance. Can this issue of staff kind of sandbagging and or stonewalling matters that the council wants to take action on be addressed? You, Patrick, and Missy have called for fiscal responsibility in contract negotiations with contract employees. We have 10 staff positions that draw $2 million a year in compensation. This, for a community of 100,000, seems extreme. Can this issue be corrected, or are we, the citizens, stuck with these excesses? The council is the citizens' ombudsman. We need representation to correct these issues, these excesses. Is there anything that can be done?
John, I really believe that there can be things that can be done. I know that other members of the council have been trying to get around this for the last 3 years. We're limited to the time constraints of when contracts are open, and then also, like in our management, when they're non-represented, that means they don't have a union. Now, to answer your first question about accountability, the purview of the council is Mr. Starman. That's the only employee that we can hire and fire. He is to be doing all of the, I guess, the measurements of all the other management people there. We can go to him and ask him specific questions in regards to that as well, as to the value, what is this person's role, what are they doing, how are they preparing, and that sort of thing. And I understand what you're saying about sometimes it feels like you're not getting all of the information, and there's been a couple instances of that, but I still have trust with Mr. Starman. In regards to fixing the amounts of money, I would like to really see us get this thing back to where we were when I first came on in regards to our general fund budget of $78 million. If you looked at that report that came out in regards to all the salaries, the total number at the bottom on the right-hand side was $90 million. And I'm sure I'm sure you did see that, John.
I did.
20% of that would be $18 million. And if we find a way between pensions and salary givebacks to where we had a 20% reduction, there's nobody laid off. The city's still providing all the same services. And we're still protecting our people. And I think that we'd be in a much better place. If you would have asked all the people in this town that have been laid off in the last 3 years, take a 20% cut or get laid off, I'm sure that they would say we'll take the 20%. Or the businesses that were going to go out of business. You know, if all you had to do was fix this was to take a 20% reduction for the owners. I talked with a business owner the other day that has multiple businesses, and in one he's taken $40,000 less, the other one he's taken $25,000 less. So, you know, everyone's making adjustments here, and unfortunately, our only control right now, the only place we can even go on the pensions is the portion that the employees are supposed to be paying. And
you know, you mentioned something that is a concern to many of us who are activist citizens in the community, and that is you mentioned that the only people, the interface between you and staff is Kurt Starman. And again, when the city clerk position came up for the bifurcation vote, it was given the authority to hire the new city clerk was given not to city council, but to Kurt Starman. It was ceded to him. I think Kurt is beginning to become a bit of a pontiff on this whole thing, and perhaps some checks and balances need to be put into place on what you're doing with Kurt. I think the city council needs to step in and take some action here.
Well, I appreciate your view on that, John. I'm not really sure if he has as much power as you think that he does, but Then again, you know, that decision did not go through. And the reason that he would have been the person who would have been hiring the clerk would have been because that fell under the employee status as opposed to the elected status. But we are back to the elected situation.
Hey, John, let me jump in here. Hey, okay, Rick.
Yes, sir.
So you can go to the managers and you can reduce their pay. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you all going to do that?
I think that they've already been reduced 10%, Carl, on average.
And how was that?
Through enforced furlough days. Okay. And so you.
Now, do they get that money back?
No, they do not.
So that's not deferred.
That's
just
money saved. That's okay. Money that they've lost. So they've done a 10% reduction. The firemen have actually come in with about what equivalent, you know, they're picking up more of their health insurance to keep the station we were going to close open.
I understand that when you're talking.
Can I jump back in for just a minute?
Okay.
Those furlough days, however, are not a permanent situation. It's just a momentary spot reduction of their salary for this given moment. Next year, those furlough days are not in place unless you guys reenact or re-request that again. Yet you're asking the contract employees to take contract reductions that are permanent. I think that this staff situation needs to be looked at on a permanent reduction basis. We are overpaying for services we're getting, and nothing seems to be being done about it. We can't, 100,000 people can't continue to support this staff position that we have there. We've got too many employees receiving too much compensation, Rick.
John, I don't disagree with you. It will take time, but I do believe that we will be getting to the point here, especially with the support of the community. If we have the citizens here that, well, I want to get reelected. That's why I'm here talking on the phone or the radio. I want to be reelected so I can continue on with this path. It's the reason, you know, this whole race has coalesced into the public employees versus the private citizens, in my opinion. When you have agencies go out, or public employee groups go out and advertise for candidates, interview, pick their three candidates, and these are the ones that are running, it makes the decision fairly easy in my mind as to where you want to go. I think that we'll be able to get a lot accomplished in the next term.
I think unions trying to buy representation on the city council is wrong, but I really think that there is almost like a fear level between the city council and staff, and it's like city council knows they're going to be outlasted by staff, and something needs to be done to reduce that amount of money. We can't afford these people.
Stay tuned.
All right, John, yeah.
Sorry, I'll get off the air.
We've got other people lined up here, too, and we've got to take a break. But, John, as usual, thanks for calling, and you know, keep chatting and keep sending the letters there.
You know I will.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good
one. Thanks, John.
Okay, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Rick Bassetti. We're talking about, you know, we're in a mess, and we're at the point where, my friends, is that now we have, you know, there's a choice out there of where we're going. And every one of our candidates that have agreed to will be on this show to talk about what they stand for and what they're going to do to help our community.
We're taking your calls, but also the chat room is open. We're back and forth, and emails that are coming in. If you're uncomfortable to make a phone call, just email us, and we'll address it right here on KCNR. Our guest today is Rick Bassetti. We'll be back right after these messages.
Your symptoms are...
KCNR 1460, it's 8:24 in the morning, September 7th. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite out on Airport Road.
Guess where we're going dish today?
We're going dish today, and Doug Tooley and his gang are coming over to put it in. You know, we're going to get the dish TV, we're going to get the that high definition, we're going to get 8,042 channels, you know, of which we watch three. You know, somebody explained, okay, let's go back to BNT Satellite. You know, he guarantees his work. He's been in the business since 1985. You know what? And Doug Tooley is just a likable guy who guarantees his work. And you will be happy with it. You know, give him a call, 244-1988, or just stop by that off on Airport Road. There's a bunch of little dish satellites out there.
Hear that, dishes. Doug?
Doug?
Yeah.
10 o'clock today. Somebody explain to me why you have 8,000 channels and you know, there's so many of them that you don't even understand what they're, you know.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Because somebody obviously likes one of those channels. There you go.
Carl, are you getting the military channel? I must know.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting the military channel. I get the
My folks have the military channel. My dad watches it a lot.
Okay.
Welcome back to the show. And our guest this morning is Rick Vassetti right here on KCNR 1460. Let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning. You are on line two.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got a question for Rick there. And I was just looking at the name unavailable. The fire captain had a base salary of $88,000, but he ended up the total compensation package was $250,000. And I'm wondering, is this one of the guys that's already retired? And are they in a position to where being like?
Hello,
Bruce. We lost you, Bruce.
He do 10 years prior to that as a compensation package. And the other thing I would like to know. How many hours do these guys work? I mean, if this is just an eight-hour day, that's $1,000 a day.
Bruce, on top of their base salary, you know, there's always the overtime issue. And if you go and look on, you can go to my website, and we do have posted on there all the detail. There's a spreadsheet that actually will take that person's salary and break it out and show you all the different categories that make up that total number. So... to try to explain it in a 30-second would be almost difficult without you sitting taking and looking at it. The bigger question that I have when I was looking at that that list was why we have 30 fire captains in the city of Reading with 8 stations. I don't know. I guess everybody is almost everyone's a captain. And that's one of the areas that I want to look into to see is what is the qualifications and is there no limit to how many captains can you have? Can we end up with a whole force of captains?
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering. Can they screw around the hours so for overtime to pump up their compensation package to go on retirement if they were going to retire in 1 year?
Yeah, there were ways before, and I think that our new chief has been trying to put a stop to that. It was called a shift differential, where if you go and fill in over at another station, you got paid more money for your overtime than if you were doing it at your own station. I hope I'm describing that right.
Yeah.
And so guys would get together and make arrangements as to, okay, I'm going to take this day off, you take that. But, you know, the bigger picture is
that's huge.
Yeah, it is very. It's
well, we
huge.
Saw that one that had $66,000 overtime pay. And I'm, you know what, I'm just going by the figures. I'm not saying whether it was, you know, that if was all required. But then I saw another fire captain that had $4,000. And I was thinking, you know, and obviously different districts and everything, but that was a huge disparity between one captain and another captain on it.
And I think probably the answer there is maybe he didn't make captain until a little later on in the year. Maybe he's not as aggressive of wanting to go out and bid and doesn't have the seniority in the union mm-hmm. to get whatever overtime he wants. So, you know, there's so much more to these union MOUs, the memorandums of understanding as to who gets to do what and how they get to do it and how we pay people. You look at education credits. You know, uniform allocations, all those. And it's huge. And the city council, you know, needed to do, in my opinion, a little better job in the past of negotiating these because it wasn't going to last forever. That money rolling in was not going to last forever. And if you've been around business at all, you know that it's not because business ultimately pays for everything.
Well, yeah, but I put it back to the same old good old boy syndrome when Murray spiked up Mike Warren's $39,000 bonus package was just purely for his retirement package and nothing else.
Well, you know, that was the first thing that I was able to accomplish when I got on the council was we stopped the public employee's performance bonus for our people in there. You know, how you have a performance bonus for public employees, I don't know. They're contracted. You're a servant. You're supposed to be doing this job for the city. And how do you measure that they get a bonus on it? And, you know, when I talked with the people at CalPERS as to how Mr. Warren's all came about, they said, yeah, it's not really the best thing in the world. They actually had some stronger language than that. But they said, because your council voted 5-0, you know, to put this bonus into place and to let him set his goals and objectives.
Well, you know, it's like this, Bruce, is that, you know, you're blaming the wrong guy when you blame Warren. The fact is that the city council, who we elected to watch and make sure this happen, you know, they did it.
It was the council. It was nothing to do with Warren.
It's like blaming a and I'm not saying he's a child, but it's blaming somebody that there was a check on this. There was a check on this.
But everybody just
used.
Stood around and let
That's
this
right.
happen, and it made a little bit of news at that point in time, but it
that
never
it.
Made a ruffle in the community.
Hey, Bruce, we've got a hard break here, but thanks a lot for calling. right. You know what? Our guest is Rick Bassetti, and we're going to be discussing some other subjects besides the just pay. There's a lot of other things that are happening around this town that needs to be discussed, and including the courthouse. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:34 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, September 7th. Goodbye, summer. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Up Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. They cut hair. They don't style hair. They cut hair. Great prices, great haircuts. You walk in there, and it's just kind of like man's last stronghold. In fact, that's what's on the window there. You get a good, you know, they're not going to be doing hairstyling, not going to be any nails being done in there. And if you hear the word gel, it's because it's the gel seat on your motorcycle, that Harley. Anyway, Cypress Square Barbershop, the great guys, you know, we have a good time there. But they are great guys, give great haircuts. It's right off Athens Avenue. Go down and visit them. Our guest is Rick Bassetti. Rick, we've got people lined up here wanting to talk to you. We've got chat rooms going and everything. The police associations offered a concession, $300,000, to keep people on the line. You all turned it down.
Correct.
All right.
Well, let me use an analogy. I hope it's not too gruesome an analogy, but we're shot and wounded. I mentioned earlier in the show that we're bleeding right now at about $40,000 a month. At the time, it was even a little bit more. We had to make a cut of about $2.3 million. And what the police were offering was to pass up on a future raise. So they didn't want to stop the bleeding. They just wanted to stop the future bleeding to be not as much. And what we were looking for is, let's stop the bleeding now. And if they would step up, if you saw my Speak Your Peace, if everyone stepped up and said, okay, we will pay our PERS for next 2 years, 1 year's worth of the police PERS is $875,000. We would have had no problem, no one getting laid off, and we could have gotten down the road. But they didn't want to do that. They just wanted to kind of patch today's problem with future money.
Okay, now I've got two or three follow-up questions, but we have the phone lines filled up. So let's go to Ray. You're on line one. Good morning.
Hey, Carl, Linda, Rick. It's Ray Thomas, IBW.
Good morning, Ray.
Morning.
Morning, Ray.
I had a question. This total compensation that's been on the front page of the local paper for the last couple of weeks, and I guess the height that it's risen to, it's somewhat amazing because it's not a phenomenon. The total compensation for the city employees' pay is not a phenomenon. And for the past 2 years, and this is directed to Rick, for the past 2 years, the IBW has been asking, everything short of demanding, that the city perform a private sector total compensation salary survey. Our position is that salary and benefit programs for city employees are equitable to taxpayers, employees, and the public. And I'm curious if Rick is aware that we've been requesting total comp for versus private sector pay over the last couple of years. And if he is, Rick, why would you be against that?
Well, I believe I was aware of what you were asking them to do. Personally, I didn't think that it was the purview of the city to be spending our money to do that. However, Ray, I believe that that is in process right now. We're looking at some other cities as well as some privates. I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes out.
Oh, fair enough. With respect to the purview, Rick, it's your own City Council Policy 206 that requires that you will perform those studies. And I'm curious if the city policy for city council is that they shall be performed, and you've got a labor union and possibly multiple unions demanding them, how can we now act 2 years later? You've been on council since November 7th, 2006. How can we act like this is an epiphany of what, you know, these high compensations, when the unions themselves have been asking for these salary surveys to, versus the private sector.
Well, the epiphany for me, Ray, was all the multiple categories of pay. When we're dealing with our budgets, we never had the type of detail that we received in the spreadsheets that were produced by the city here recently. And that was the epiphany for me. And, you know, there, I believe also one of the big factors is, for me also, is I was very pleased when we decided to go to an outside person to start doing our union negotiations, because I felt uncomfortable with that. But to answer your question about the survey, I think that it's a very fair and equitable situation to try to get done, and I think that that's in the process now being done. It's not being done by the city, but it's being done by an outside party.
Well, with all due respect, again, I just wanted everybody to know that we've been asking for these private sector salary surveys for over 2 years. I'm not going to comment on the current negotiations ongoing. I'm not taking that public, but the IBW and possibly other unions have been asking for that, and maybe we could have got arms around this a couple of years ago.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling, Ray. Okay, let's go to John, line two. John, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on.
Do you have a question for Rick?
I just had a couple of comments about the gentleman that called a little bit earlier about raising the total compensation package for overtime or for retirement. And I was just going to mention that retirement is based on base salary. So that firefighter making $88,000 a year base salary, he can make $200,000 for 10 years. His retirement still can be based on the $88,000, no matter how much overtime he works. And the other comment is overtime is paid to people to be away from their family. It's not really bumping their pay just so they can bump their pay. It's they need people to work, so they have to pay overtime to compensate them for being away from their family.
Hey, John, I don't think anybody was questioning, you know, the fact of you know, overtime and that, but you know, the you know, clearing up, you know, and I'm pretty sure that it's a good point you brought up that overtime, if you're making $260,000 and 140 of it's overtime, doesn't count for your retirement. That's a good point. So, I mean, I don't know if they did that or not.
Yeah, that's true. What he's saying is true. What a lot of people don't understand out there, though, and again, I try to explain it in my speaker piece, is that by us paying their 9%, let's take that number so it's easy to divide and give you a numerical example. If that fireman was making $100,000, we're paying 9% of that for his retirement. The way CalPERS now calculates for public safety people is that his 90% isn't going to be based on the 100. They're going to take the 9,000 we're paying in for his retirement and put it on top of that and say that's other pay, other income. And the 90% will then be of 109,000. So you take 90% of 109, that's $98,100. So in essence, it raises their rate to 98% of that salary.
Right, I understand. John, is that what you wanted to get out? Was about the overtime in that?
Yeah, just had one other point.
Sure.
A lot of people, it doesn't seem like it comes out in the media real well. When you retire from the city,
uh-huh.
you're no longer a city employee, and the city does not pay your retirement any longer. Your money comes from CalPERS. I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And the money that the city pays into goes into that for CalPERS. And I think the question is should the employees be paying part of this?
Well, and the biggest issue, John, isn't as you retire and you go out, we know that we're not contributing now for you. But what's happened, because the CalPERS system is guaranteed by the state of California in your agreements there, that we're mandated to pay the city or the participating agency's share no matter what. And because you're guaranteed a 7%+ return on your money, when the market doesn't perform or there isn't money in your investment portfolio doesn't perform, then we have to make up the difference. Well, today that difference is, for public safety, it's 33% of their pay. And then you add that other 9% on top. There, now you're at 42% of a salary is what we're going to pay just for their pension. And so
this is after they leave.
This is what we're paying in now. No, right. This isn't after they leave. As an example, I'll go back to that $100,000 figure again. We'll pay $42,000 for that one person. And so when you go, that's why it's important. You go and look at that CalPERS contribution down that line on the spreadsheet. It's huge.
Hey, John, we've got a break. We're like 4 minutes over our break time. Thanks a lot for calling. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to KCNR. Yeah, 1460 on your dial. This is Carla Linda Bott. We are taking your calls. Rick Bassetti is our special guest this morning. Rick, you know, we've got Charles. We're going to take a phone call first, and then I've got a question that's just everybody's been talking about, and I really want to hear it from you.
Okay.
But let's go to the phones right now. Charles, good morning. You are live on KCNR.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, recently I took a look at Kempla Policy 206 myself, and it seems to me that the primary responsibility falls upon the shoulders of the personnel office, and that if the personnel office has not been doing their, you know, has not been fulfilling that particular responsibility, that's where, you know, questions ought to be directed and say, you know, hey, you people over there, why haven't you been, you know, following the policy number 206 adopted back in 1989? And,
well, I'd agree with you, Charles. I believe that when I made the statement earlier that I feel much more comfortable with an outside person now dealing, because it was our personnel department that was handling our negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Charles, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, Charles. Okay, here's my question for you, Rick. Okay, there's been all this, like, scuttlebutt on the streets. That's a word, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know what it means, but you know what I'm talking about. Hearsay. About the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
What is up with the courthouse?
Well, the last I heard is that the AOC, which was the Administrator of the Courts, I believe, is what the acronym is for, has chosen its number one site, and that is the downtown site.
So this is official?
Yes. There's a backup site. If that were to fall through for any technical reasons, whatever, you know, bad ground, soils, things like that, contamination, whatever, or deals don't come through on acquisition of some properties, then the backup site was going to be where the softball field is over next to City Hall. And that's all, that deal's already been. The other sites that had come in and tried to compete have already been eliminated.
Okay, so what is the official site, the number one site?
The number one site is the one that is on Court Street to Butte, I believe, over to, not Tehama, but the other one in the middle there. There's about 2.5 blocks right there that come up onto the railroad tracks.
Now, this is a $240 million project, and this is paid for by the state and not us.
Well, us is the state. Yes.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. This money's been set aside. It's not something we're going to raise our taxes, or it's going to take money out of our personal budget, is it?
Well, I mean, as long as you pay state taxes, it's coming out of your budget. But, it is money coming from the state.
Okay. So,
and our state's in trouble. So
yes.
I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, why build a new courthouse?
Well, because we're so woefully understaffed here with our courthouse. You have people that are waiting months now for trials and the inconvenience for them, as well as, you know, we're supposed to have your right to speedy trial, and that's just not happening here in Shasta County.
And because we don't have enough courthouses, what about putting out mobile courthouses up or mobile offices out there?
Because it's a state-run organization, we don't have that choice.
Ah, too bad. Okay, we got to get back on track here, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to we've got a couple other questions we want to talk about, on the budget, and let Rick talk a little bit about what he wants for here in the future. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Back down
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They don't back down either. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. They're great people. Joe and Shelley, they support our community, our veterans. Go down there and visit them. Our guest is Rick Bassetti. Rick?
Yes, sir.
REU. I know yes. that, I mean, we could keep going on and on about this. REU has a surplus. Not a surplus, but they have a...
Profit.
Their profit margin there.
Yes.
Are you all looking at the fact of taking it down to the lowest possible level and still maintain our bond rating so that we don't have to raise the electrical rates?
That's one of the options, Carl, that are currently available to us.
Okay.
You know, that's an ongoing process, and we have to look at it. We have to see what it costs for us to be producing the electricity. We've been fortunate this year in regards to the cost of our natural gas has gone down, but also electric is so inexpensive out there on the market that it's cheaper for us to buy it instead of to make it now. And so we need to look at all the variables that come in, and if we can get down to our minimum level without having to raise rates, I'm going to be all for it.
Okay. That's, you know, it's because it was 7.5% last year, mm-hmm. and they're talking about another 7.5% this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, hitting people at a tough time. So.
It's absolutely correct.
Okay. Are there any other cuts you're looking at in the budget? Be able to, you know, you've got to look at
The only thing we have left, Carl, now, in my opinion, are bodies, and you don't want to, you know, depersonalize it like that. But I mean, we're at the point now where we've, you know, we took $3 million out of our risk management, which is a paper transfer. That you know, if we hadn't done that, our reserve would have been gone. So that was money that we took in to offset. When we were at the $5.3 million deficit, and then we had to make the other $2.3 million. And that, look at the ire that raised at that point. Can you imagine if we had kept that $3 million in our risk and done a $5.3 million cut, it would have been much, much deeper. And so that's where we are now, though. There is no more money hiding anywhere. There's nothing anywhere. And so if we have to reduce, we're going to have to reduce with positions. And, you know, I don't see that has to happen. I mean... You know, I know that contracts aren't open, but step forward. I mean, I'd ask that in my speaker piece. Step forward. Let's make some voluntary cuts here to help us get through this thing, and nobody has to lose it. I can't understand how the young guy and the police department or the fire department or any of our union employees are willing to give up their jobs, you know, that so that we can maintain this unsustainable, at this point, salaries that we have.
So... Taking a look then at the managers and that, looking at them getting cuts and them paying CalPERS and all this is going to have to be done.
Everything's on the table. Everything's on the table right now.
Okay. There was a question came in about you accepting, do you get health benefits?
I take health benefits. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. And I'm grateful that I did take them. You know, I think for this job, you know, the $600 a month is a fairly small stipend for what we have to go through. You know, some of the arguments that we had of people who run the city are overcompensated, but I think for the health care package, which is about 14.5, I think, is what it is, 15,000 maybe, plus the stipend, I think my total compensation was about $26,000 last year.
Okay. We got a couple.
And we did vote. I'm sorry. That part of that question, too, was will you take it after you're gone? I believe our vote in 2009 said that after 2009, any city council people...
That leave
cannot have it. Unless the future council changes that. So, you know, that's where our limitations are.
Well, you know, and that has to do a lot with the economy, of course. Okay, we got a couple minutes. Last thought, sir.
Well, you know, this is a tough race. It's very, very emotional. You know, whenever people's jobs are on the line like this, it is. But, you know, when I ran the first time, I said I was running for the 90,000 people that live in the city and not just the 900 that work at the city. We're now down to 762 people that work at the city. And there was an epiphany, to touch back earlier in the conversation, when I saw the total compensation at over $90 million for a city of 90,000. That's $1,000 a person in our city when you break it down like that. Now, are there other communities where they make more? Probably. Are there other communities that we're paying them higher? Probably. But we're here. We're in Reading. We have to deal with what we have to deal with. We have to deal with sales tax revenues declining or flatline. One of the things that has not come out in our paper or anywhere from a, and I would like to see maybe some of the media, you might want to do a show on it, is Leslie Morgan came and made a presentation to us about the property values in Shasta County.
She was on our show before she gave
okay.
it to you about that.
Yeah. $1 billion loss in Shasta County in property valuations, and about 40% of that was in the city of Redding.
Right.
So $400 million, or close to, loss in value. So do you think our property tax money is coming back to the city anytime soon? No.
No.
There's not going to be any major spike. We've lost all this revenue in the last 3.5 years. It isn't going to come back in a week, a quarter, a month. It's going to be several years, and we're going to have to be lean and skinny for the foreseeable future, in my opinion. And do you want someone who has proven already to be fiscally conservative with your money, or do you want to go ahead and you know, bring in people who are being sponsored by the public employees unions? It's that simple of a question there,
okay.
I think, anyway.
Well, Rick, our guest today has been Councilman Rick Bassetti, who's running for
re-election. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Been really open in your question. Well, you know, tomorrow we're having on City Council candidate Steve Hobson. We'll be on tomorrow, and you'll be able to ask him questions, because here's a, you know, somebody who hasn't maybe not experienced a fire yet. So, and will. Rick, thanks a lot for coming on, and this is going to be an interesting couple of months.
57 days.
57 days,
wow.
That's right. Okay. All right, it's Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.